Problem compulsive overeater.
Hi, Gail.
I'm really glad to be here. So, I'm supposed to tell what I was like. Well, I can say that my highest weight was 217 pounds, and I'm 5'2". So I kind of used to describe myself as a marshmallow with legs. But I was really, I was born a normal-sized kid. I was 7 pounds, 2 ounces, and, you know, I was a baby boomer and born in New York City. But later on, people always referred to me as chubby, or the Yiddish word is zaftik. And I always thought of myself as fat, even though my sister showed me pictures when I was a kid that I had my the sleeves in my dresses kind of hanging out. So I was really a normal-sized kid. But at around, I remember around 10, 11 years old, a neighbor came over, and I was eating breakfast, and he said, gee, you must have a hollow leg. I don't know where you put it all. So that was kind of my indication that I was eating more than the rest of my family, and I definitely felt terrible about this. And certainly years later, my parents said they used to find candy wrappers and all kinds of stuff under my bed, and they didn't really know what to do. But I definitely, obviously, was a compulsive overeater all my life. And it wasn't until I was about, I think, my first time that I really had a sense of something was wrong. I was about 14, or maybe a little younger than this. I went to my mother, and I really wasn't fat then, but I was very upset because I weighed 11 to 12 pounds more than my next door, my friend next door. And I was crying, and my mother took me to a, she didn't know what to do. I mean, she did the best she could do at the time, but she took me to a diet doctor. That was the first experience at a diet doctor, and I was put on amphetamines at like 14 or 15 years old. And it feels like from then on, it was a yo-yo, up and down and up and down and up and down. And I have tried probably every diet that there is in the book. I went to Weight Watchers. I don't can't tell you how many times I joined and unjoined and joined. And I kept thinking, oh, this one is going to work tomorrow. I'll go on this diet tomorrow. And I would, like, plan ahead by so-and-so date. I'll be this thin. You know, and at one point I had 4 different size clothes in my closet. And some days some clothes would fit me, and some days some other clothes would fit me. And, you know, I obviously knew something was wrong, but I wasn't successful at any diet. I mean, I was about to give up and say, I'm just going to be a fat person, and that's the way it's going to be. And I have to accept that. But I couldn't accept it, even though I kept eating. And I was fortunate in the late 1970s, I was seeing a therapist. I remember, I think it was like 1979, and he said, gee, I heard of this group of people who talk about why they're overeating. And I thought right away, that must be for me. It's not just a diet, because I always felt uncomfortable at Weight Watchers. It's not that it's not a good program, but at the time that I was going, they would always talk about how to make fake this and fake that and this food. And it wasn't, I knew that wasn't the problem. It wasn't the problem of what I was eating. I was eating too much of everything. I couldn't stop eating. And it felt like if I ate a little too much, then I would want to eat more. Certainly my first experience at binging was I went to camp. And at 6 weeks and at sleepaway camp, I really watched what I was eating, and I swam every day, and I lost all this weight, and I came home, and immediately it felt like I started eating again. And I remember this feeling of binging, like being so sick, saying, I will never do this again. And of course I did. At the same time, I had these 3 sisters, and I was completely jealous of all of them, because none of them had a weight problem whatsoever. Like, they weren't even an ounce overweight. My mother maybe was 10 pounds overweight once, and she went on a diet, and that was the you know, she lost it. So I knew there was something different about me, and that's also made me feel separate from my sisters. I mean, I was chubby, they were thin. I wore glasses, they didn't. I had curly hair, they didn't. You know, and I always thought of them as the smart ones, the pretty ones. And at the same time, I had this undiagnosed hearing loss, which I had a viral illness when I was about 5 years old, and I had scarlet fever, and the doctor thinks now that I also had probably had measles at the same time. But somehow, all of this got missed in school. It probably wasn't as bad as it got later on, but I went through school with a hearing disability, and, of course, missed things, so people would say to my mother, oh, she's doing the best she can under the circumstances. And, of course, I meant got that to mean that I was, like, not the dumbest one in the family. Mm-hmm. So here I am feeling really different. And I kept eating because I felt so bad and about all of this, and it was just a secret eating. I would go down at night and get stuff out of the cupboard and then put stuff back to make it look like nothing was missing. Of course, everybody knew. I mean, I remember going, even babysitting, and at the neighbor's, and they didn't have microwaves at the time, and going down to the neighbor's freezer in the basement and taking out one of those Sara Lee pound cakes. It was frozen, like wedging it out of the aluminum foil and eating the whole thing while I was there for the couple of 3 hours, and then, you know, sort of hiding the aluminum in the bottom of the garbage. It was almost like I would go to stores later on. I would go, if I was going to McDonald's, and I would, or one of these fast food restaurants, and I would buy enough food for two or three people, then, you know, the person behind the counter didn't give a darn how much I ordered, but I was embarrassed, so I would, like, make believe I was buying for two or three people. I wonder what she wants, I would say, and it was like, what difference did it make? And then, of course, I'd go home and eat it all, or eat it half of it in the car on the way home. So I found out about OA in about 1979, and I joined. And at that time, there wasn't even any OA literature, very little. We used the AA Big Book. We used everything that was from AA, and we substituted the word compulsive overeating. And I did really well. I was on this... They had food plans at the time. They had two food plans, and I was on this, quote, gray sheet. And I did really well, but what the problem was is I was the queen of OA. I was doing all the service. I was putting out chairs. I was buying stuff for the meetings. I was setting up, but I wasn't really working the steps. Mm-hmm. I got as far as step three, and I never got past step three. And I hung out at OA until about 1986, when one day I got up and I'm reading the book, and it says about our disease. And something hit me. I don't have a disease. I don't like that word. If they're going to operate like, there's nothing wrong with me. I mean, I'm a nurse. I know the definition of disease. And that's not, you know, compulsive overeating isn't a disease. So I don't know what it was, but there was something else going on, and I left OA. And I spent probably 30 or more years going back to yo-yoing up and down and up and down, to the point of about 3 years ago, when I was at 217 pounds, I found myself walking across the parking lot in Corte Madera, going to the Apple store, was flat, and I had to stop like six times because I was short of breath. So I go to my primary care doctor, and he was trying to be very nice to me. And he said, well, don't you think this has something to do with the fact that you weigh 217 pounds and you're 5 feet tall and you're over 70? No, it's got to be something else. It's got to be something else. He says, okay, I'll send you for a cardiac treadmill and we'll see how that does. Well, I completely failed at the best. I couldn't walk on the treadmill for almost 15 seconds. My blood pressure went all the way up. I had heart palpitations. They did all these other tests and sent me to the cardiologist, who was very, very concerned about my weight. She said, this is very serious. You have an irregular heartbeat. Your blood pressure is off. You had this big time. I had big time heart surgery in 2002. I had a congenital heart defect, and they took out about 6 centimeters of my aorta and put in a Dacron graft. So I couldn't afford to have high blood pressure. I was supposed to keep my blood pressure low. So she was really worried, and she wanted me to go on this medically supervised weight loss program, which is a liquid diet. And I was desperate at that point because I was willing to do it. So the lucky thing is God stepped in. I went to this orientation and they gave out samples of the stuff. And I couldn't stand the taste of it. Everybody else in the room thought it tasted fine, but I went into the bathroom and threw up and I said, I have to do something else. So I went back to the food plan I knew to eat. I started exercising and hired a trainer, and then I walked back into these rooms in OA. And as soon as I walked back in, I knew I belonged back here. There was no question in my mind. I feel very fortunate today that I've kept coming back. And I think that what makes this program work is really working the steps, having a power greater than yourself, whatever that is, whoever that is, and coming to meetings, talking to people, and being willing to be uncomfortable, because sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes I feel like I want to eat this. And even though I've been really abstinent, I can see things like hook me. I opened the internet the other day, and there was this ad for these pills that supposedly keto something pills that were supposed to get rid of the last bit of your fat by just taking these pills, order these things. And, you know, I'm a nurse, and I've been doing this for years. I know in my mind this is like, it's just selling stuff. But you see, I'm reading this thing, and I'm saying, oh, only $49. And things still hook you. Food still calls to me. That's why I don't trust myself with food. That's why I give away my food to somebody every day. I write it down. That's why I work the steps and I read something every day. That's why I do meditation. I don't want to ever go back to where I was. I still have a lot of weight to lose, but I know that one day at a time I'll get there. And I look to people who've been in this program for a long time and have a much more peaceful life than they did before. And so that's what keeps me coming back. So thank you very much for allowing me to talk to you.
We will now pass the basket.